word of God is instrument of creativity and transformation. Without this word was nothing made. Join God's servant, Sonny E. Oluide, as it brings you into the reality of God's knowledge with utmost simplicity and clarity.
Thank you so much, sir, for that answer. Okay. The question continues that, why did God dwell in us? How can the seven redemptive blessings become a reality in my life?
Okay, let's start. Why did God dwell in us? God dwell in us to fulfill His own purpose through our lives. That's the primary aim and objective. Because when God decided to create man, He said, come, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, means man has to operate as God operates. What is he talking about is that God has to operate through man. The primary aim and objective of God dwelling in us is to fulfill or accomplish His own purpose through our life. That is one. Now, number two, to appropriate the seven redemptive blessings, you must know it. You must know them. Not that you will be asking God of those seven redemptive blessings, but they are yours. They are yours. The first knowing is that they belong to you. You are not begging God for that. He deliberately gave them to you. So they are yours. Spiritually speaking, they are given to you by God in your own name. So they belong to you. You are not begging God for that. He will it for you. Now, that is the first knowing. Then, but two, as you hear it, you ponder on it, that you meditate on it, so it becomes yours. Then you begin to speak them to reality. That's the way you can get. But the first thing you must know is that those seven redemptive blessings belongs to you. God has given them to you. You are not asking God for Him to give them. They are yours. They are yours. You are not trying to maybe appease God in one way or the other before you can get them. No, they are yours. Say, we have redemption. We have it. Not that we will have redemption. Give up Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. We have. Not that we will have. So what we have, we don't pray for it. It's already yours. You only receive them. You know that you enjoy those blessings. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We have them. Not that we are going to have them. This is the knowledge that you must have. You must conceive. We have. Ephesians 1, verse 7. We have. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Not according to your power, not according to your works. And grace is simply a gift of love that God deliberately wills to you as a person. So they are yours. Those seven redemptive blessings are yours. Spiritually speaking, they are tied to your name. So it is yours to take. Do you get the point now? So that's you don't do anything about that. It's just yours. Just enjoying it. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Daddy. I would like to read the next series of questions, and after that we go to the audience if we have, or people here, if we have questions for our Daddy. Now, the next question is, please, sir, I manage my home and ministry. how can I manage both the home and the ministry? And then a question is added to that. How do I select godly in marriage?
Okay. How can I manage my home and ministry? Good. Managing home and ministry is something. In the sense that your ministry is simply an expression of God through your life. Simply an expression of God through your life to bless humanity. Then, managing home also is an expression of God through your life, to your wife, to your children, and to all your dependents. So it's life. What's all about life? I wonder how people find it difficult. I wonder why. See, God is God. And you see, thousands and millions of people approach God every day. And they listen to them. Abi? Now, the question is that this same God, who has the capacity to attend to all those cases every day, is the same God that lives in you. The day our mind comprehend that, you see that managing your home and ministry become easier. Because the number one set of people you have to minister to, first and foremost, they are your family. Before you move out, I mean, yes, now you live with them. So the life you now carry to carry out your ministry is the same life you carry to minister to your family. So I don't see any difficulty in that. Yeah. Very, very simple matter. Do you understand my point? That's part of what we said in the... that a goat should not marry a dog. So, since it is one person that is coming together, but in two separate bodies, it means it will be easy for Mr. A to understand Mrs. B. So, but if they are different fellows, then they can't understand each other. It will become difficult. Am I communicating now? So that's why we say, okay, someone has to get it right from the beginning. Who am I to marry? It is God that will tell you. I never pray for marriage. You may surprise everybody. I didn't pray. Some will say they are praying and fast. I say, I don't. All I know, when I read my Bible, it says, God knew that it is not good for a man to be alone. And he went and made. When he finished meeting the woman, he brought the woman to the man. All I know is that the person you made for me, then bring it to me. That's all. I don't need to pray and fast for that. And when God says this is the person, in my heart, I have peace. And I know God cannot lie. Do you understand my point? All the marriage book I have read, the law of God cancel all of them. Because he says, if I graduate, your wife must be, you must be compatible. All of this is to confuse people the more. Do you understand my point? Though they are very okay so that two of them can have something to do, doing and all of this to provide for the house. That's good and fine. But to me, there are a lot of marriage books. There are a lot of principles there that is not godly. People went into such thing, they enter into trouble later. Yeah, that's the truth. But today you see they say compatibility. If I graduate, your wife must be a graduate. If you are working, your wife must be working. If you are doing, your wife must be. If you are tall, your wife must be. All of these. When I look at all of them, but when I read my Bible, God said, it is not good. And he went and made the woman and brought it to the man. And the man was sleeping. And when the man woke up and said, this, how did he know? Do you understand the point? How did he know? So when I read all those things, I said, Lord, all those knowledge I've gathered, I put them away. Oh yeah, Lord, since I know this one, bring it. And when the person, when God brought it, that was simple. So to manage your home, first and foremost, you must get the will of God in marriage. See, this is very simple matter. You know, I have seen people that at the end of maybe after 20 years of marriage, 25, they now declare that of a two, they made mistake. But initially they say, okay, it was the will of God. But later they know that they made mistake. Marriage is not to be endured. Don't endure it. It's not something you endure. Or like when you see twin sister or twin brother in there, you see the way they relate. You understand the point. And that's why a wife and a husband and wife should relate. But when somebody misses it, there's nothing can do. And I pray that none of us will miss it.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. So the best thing I do, that those days, I say, Lord, the person you made for me, the bone of my bone and the flesh of my flesh, wherever he is, I know you will bring it home. And it was so simple. That's why I say, I tell you, I didn't pray about it. I didn't, too. I never do that. I don't even have time to pray for that because what I'm pursuing was either. Eh? He's the knowledge that matter. Sir, pray over this matter. I'm not seeing anything. No. There's no place in the Bible that God says, pray before you get wife. Is there anywhere? Do you see any Bible say, pray before you get wife? No. But why are people praying today? Illegal business. He that findeth a wife, findeth good thing, and obtain favor of the Lord. Is that not what God said? He didn't say he that pray for wife. He that findeth. Have you read it in your Bible? Let's get there. Check. Proverbs 18:22. He that findeth. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. And obtain the favor of the Lord. What will make you not to be able to manage good things? Do you get the point? So that is a simple. So ministry is simply an expression of what God decides to do through your life, simply expressing it. Simple. You are wired for that. Everything about you speaks of that. So God used your hand to do it. He used your mouth to do it. He used your eyes to see it. It's simple. But anything that someone is doing that you find it difficult, you struggle with me, that is not what God wants to do with your life. Simple. Very, very simple. I enjoy marriage and I enjoy ministry. Yeah. Hello. Thank you. Next question.
Much, sir.
Praise God. So I have a lot of questions, but because of many of us that are here.
This is a person to regulate you.
Okay,
you regulate him. How many you should ask per time?
My first question, sir. Are there circumstances that can warrant divorce in Christendom?
Are there circumstances?
Yes, sir.
There is not. There is no circumstances. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Let's get to the Bible quickly. Mark chapter 10. Let's read from verse 1. There is no. And he arose from thence and coming into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again, and as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him. Is that your Bible? And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept, so that you won't kill him. It's not that it was God's will. You know, there's a point that a leader could be under a pressure just to escape. He will just write something so that you allow him to go. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall the man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then, they are no more twin, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house, his disciples asking again of the same matter. Because they too, they were not born again. You know, they were not born again. You know, all the people that followed Jesus in his early ministry, none of them were born again. They became born again the day of Pentecost. So any behavior they behave is the that man. You know the man. It's okay. So the man on the shoulder. And he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committed adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committed adultery. And they brought young children. That's all. Are you seeing now? Is there any reason? Why did Moses write to them? Because they may kill him. Not that God said. Do you get the point now? Am I communicating, please? So let's go to Genesis marriage. Genesis chapter 2. We read from verse 18 down to 24. So if anyone hearing now and is trying to put away his wife, I admonish you, go back. Don't put her away. But there is one reason I saw in the scripture that before you come together, when you are on caution, if you find anything that is not okay, you may break the caution before marriage, but you don't break marriage. I will read it for you when I am done with this one. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Go to 22 quickly. Just give up 21. From 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had, when the Lord God had taken from man, made it a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Are you seeing? How did he know? Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, that's why I say marriage is one person joining together, but from two. It means when somebody says his wife is divorcing his wife, is pursuing his wife, who is he pursuing? Himself. No, himself. Please. Give us Ephesians chapter 5. I think this is a matter. We need to deal with this matter very well. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read verse 28 and 29. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Can you see now? As their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, loveth himself. He that divorced his wife, divorced himself. It means when you say a woman should leave your house, you too should ready to leave that house. This is your lack of understanding that is killing people today. Then 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the law, the church. It means the first thing you must learn about marriage is that it's the same you. The same person in you. The same person that is in your wife or your husband. When you say your wife's head is not correct, you mean you are saying your head is not correct. If we don't get the understanding to this point, marriage cannot be sweet. Am I communicating now? Marriage is not Christian marriage, the one I saw from my own Bible, revelationally, is one person coming together in two bodies, not two persons joining together. Do you hear what I say? If Jesus is in a man and Jesus is in a woman, they come together. Are they two persons coming together or one person coming together? You are not answering me. You know, we have read a lot of theories without life. That's why something comes up. In fact, divorce now is very, very common in Christendom. You don't take it to be anything. But you ought not to be so. Then Matthew chapter 19. Give us verse 13. No, let's read from verse 10. I think this is the same case we read in there. Okay, let's read from verse 10 now. His disciples said unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Are you see where they even came to? Those who say it's not good to marry, they already have wife. Oh. Are you seeing them? Then look at the response of Jesus. Verse 11. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this thing, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuch of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. But what happened to Joseph and Mary? You know, Mary conceived before they came together. And Joseph was trying to put her away. So if such thing is found in courtship, or you started saying that the person you are dating, you want to marry, is dating another person, it is better to cut it off before he cut you off. Mm-hmm. Without anything, but once they declare you, or you finish paying dowry, and they say bye-bye, he dead, do you part. That's why we say, observe, think well, be sure. Yeah? No rushing in it. Thank you. Is there any reason at all? No reason.
Sir, I still have a follow-up question on that. Yeah. Now, sir, in situations where somebody misses it, and you
in
find...
marriage? You say in marriage?
Yes, sir.
He misses it?
Yes, sir.
Ah.
Now, I'm coming, sir. And then you discover that, let's say, for example, a woman...
The person you marry is not the one you're supposed to marry.
You are already...
You discover that. But you have already married the person.
Yes, sir.
You have already married.
You have already married.
But you discover that it's not the person you're supposed to marry.
Yes, sir.
I say he dead.
Sir, I'm coming. Let me let me learn. Now, supposing that you mismarry.
Yeah.
And then you discover that as a woman, yeah, that the man you marry now turned you to a punching bag, always beating you, maltreating you.
Yes.
Now, under such circumstances, what advice, or what can
I have no advice to tell them that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. You see, let me tell you this. Listen to this. You know, there's a case going on now, viral everywhere. The trouble of that matter, the genesis of that matter is that, what do they give them in their church? Do they give them eternal life? If the man and the woman has embraced eternal life since, would they continue fighting? When home are battered, people are battered, when they come to church, they should be mended. That's what church is meant for. The question is that, what you give to a man If it is what Jesus gave to people that we are giving to people, such thing will not occur. It won't happen. Do you understand my point? I think somebody that has 4 children, I think that marriage should be more than 2 years. I think nobody can give birth to 4 children in 2 years. Even if you give birth to twins and twins, I think it will pass 2 years now. So that the question is this, as I was saying, as I'm explaining to you, if Jesus is the one inside the man and is the man inside the woman, I don't think such thing will happen. Do you understand now? But when people just come to church, hey, you want to give your life to Christ, come and give your life, they come out. On what ground? What are they giving their life to Christ upon? What do they understand? Do they know that Jesus came to exchange them? Some they say, for you not to go to hellfire, give your life to Christ. That is not gospel. You must explain to them what Jesus came to do for them. So whoever we can come, and at that point, they receive a new nature. Even if they backslide, they will come back. Because the nature of God is already there. So, it's a pity. It's unfortunate that such great talent is just wasted like that. Cut off at the middle of the age. It's not a good thing. But if we are going to cost anything, you don't advise people not to fight. Give them that life. Keep emphasizing about that life. Jesus told, say, go stand in the temple and speak to these people. All the word of this life. All our message, our counseling, everything should center on eternal life. That's what Jesus came to. Jesus majored on it. Throughout his ministry, he was majoring on it. Abi? And after resurrection, the few time he spent with the disciples before he was taken away, he still majored on the same thing. Eternal life is the nature of God. The nature of God doesn't slap people. Is that true? So if you want to do anything, you want to make anything, you want to do anything reasonable, no. We have to go back to the Genesis. So that's what the brother was asking. By the time the foundation is 40, what do you want to build on it? Christ is the foundation. He is the structure. He is everything. But by the time they didn't give people Christ, just come, don't worry. We have 20,000 members. Is that what we are saying? Look at such an insult. Even if they kill that man now, will he bring the woman back? Do you understand my point? The first thing that when a wife and a man and a woman is fighting, the next thing you should know immediately, they have no eternal life. Call them together, explain it again to them, and give them. If they receive, nothing will stop. That's the remedy to everything. So, but then to say, okay, because it's on, they are beating you, you should carry your load. No, I won't give you that advice. I know why you are fighting. Then I give you what will make you not to fight. And the following day, if I see you, how is eternal life in you? Huh? Okay. Even as a commission here, how many fights do we fight here? How many fights do we set? Huh? Everybody just doing his own going. No fighting. The reason is because the nature we carry, we are simply fulfilling. I called a brother yesterday and I said, this is it. He said, okay, sir. Today he was here before me. That's how life should be. And his challenges become mine. My challenges become yours. So we become a body bearer. We carry my brother's body, you carry it. So that's how life should be lived. There are a lot of destruction that is already happening that only God can. And the reason is this. Somebody that he has been managing life for 30 years, he now say, okay, come and see eternal life. See, I'll be born again for 30 years. If you ask him, how did he become born again? He can't explain. Is that born again? So that's it. That is the issue. Any revival that is not centered and focused on eternal life is not a genuine revival. That's the truth of the matter. Everything you need, all that God is, and all God will be, is eternal life. Don't let anybody preach you out of that. But as a preacher or as a leader, they bring such matter to you. Because he has been beating me, he break my heart, should I pack away? Am I the one that says you pack in the first place? Am I the one you want to be, make a sinner? Say, what God has joined together? Am I the one to put us under? Go and meet your parents. Those who were there, the day they joined it together, not me. That's all. The next question, Jerry. Let's go straight to our point.
Praise God. Sir, actually on that line of question, there is a question here. I just have to bring it out. According to Mark chapter 10 verse 9, since whatsoever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Can man put asunder what man has joined together?
The question is this. You know all these questions they keep asking, they are still parabolating on the same matter. Now, whether it's man that put them together or not man, the question is that since we have come together, we are living together, whether you say man or God, you are already together. See, it's a serious matter. I tell you, it's a very serious matter. See, let me tell you, any mistake in marriage is going to become a destroy. It's going to destroy a nation. Yeah, it's a serious issue. More than 60% of marriage today, they are just enduring it, but they will open up. How is it fine? It is where. It means it is where inside where. I pray that your own marriage will not be like that.
Amen.
But when you understand the basic principle from the foundation of it, then it will become easier for you. Do you get the point now?
Uh-huh.
So when you say man join together, man never initiate marriage. Even though if it is man that joined it together, it has become God. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Now, this is a question completely different from the line of discussion. This person is asking, sir, please, according to what you told us that we should pray for others, what if we forget to pray for them? Or what they are asking for, we have the capacity to meet it physically. Will God still solve our own problem, or we must just pray for them?
Amen. This is a very good question. Now, if 100 persons are in need of something, definitely you don't know them. Or maybe only one or two of them will come to you. But when you make it a lifestyle of praying for others, as the scripture said, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 1. Praying for others is ordained by God. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Be made for all men. Be made for all men. Verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and Savior. Oh, we have all men to be saved and come and to come to unto the knowledge of the truth. It's part of commandment for you. As you are doing it, become your lifestyle. Then what happened now? You are bearing a body. Even though if you don't have any need at all to pray for, you only have a need to pray for others for something. You understand the point? That is a different thing. Now, out of 100, only 2 of them came to you, maybe for financial assistance, and you meet it. That does not violate this. That does not violate this. The reason is because Jesus, who lives in you, and we are as he is right now, what is he doing at the right hand of God? So it means the same thing he's doing at the right hand of God is the same thing he will still do through your life. That's it.
Thank you so much, sir. A question that is like a follow-up to that. Another person asks, why praying for others? According to what you've taught us, sir, that when we pray once, then we continue to give God thanks. Should I apply that when I'm praying for others too? That is, pray once and then continue to give thanks.
It's okay. Thank you very much. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. praying always. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Praying always. Not once in a while. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the spirit. And washing thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. For all saints. There is no day you will pray that you will not give thanks. Is that true? And the body you have today will be different from the one you have tomorrow. So that's it. Pray how many days? Always.
Thank you so much, sir. Praise the Lord. I believe we are learning and we're gaining many things from the answers. Now, the next question before we go back to the to my people here, if they have questions. What is in the heart of God when God created man? That is the purpose of creation. Sir, I will join into it. How can I know my purpose?
It's okay. What is in the heart of God for creating man? What is in the heart of God for creating man is this. That man should be fruitful. What does it mean to be fruitful? It's beyond bearing children. It's to bear the fruit of the recreated spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. In Galatians 5:22-23. That's the first thing. Then to multiply, to replenish the head, to subdue it, and to have dominion over the circumstances. All circumstances. Nothing should dominate a man. And why did God say that? It is God who came to live in man. And you know, of course, no circumstances can dominate God. Do you get the point now? The first thing we must acknowledge is this. The purpose of God for your life, the platform may be different, but the purpose is the same. The platform may be different, but the purpose is the same. Why does it say? Now, the first thing is that a man should please God always and bless people always. That's it. A man should please God always, at the same time do what? Bless people always. So if you really want to know the purpose of God for your life as a child of God, once you know the purpose of God for God himself, that is your purpose. The reason is because God speaks to himself before creating man. So what God speaks to before creating man, that is where you can draw, that's where that particular thing can draw its purpose from. When God wants to create fish, what did he do? He speaks to water. If you want to know the capacity of fish, throw fish inside water. So if you want to know the real purpose of God for a man, understand what Jesus came to accomplish. You will see it there. You get the point now?
Thank you so much, Daddy. Okay, I don't know if we have any other question. Okay, please. Okay.
Hallelujah. What is the difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit, sir?
The baptism of the Holy Spirit
and the filling of the Holy Spirit.
They are the same but with different spelling. Eh?
Yes, sir.
Holy Spirit is not water. It's a person. Once he enters you, he doesn't enter you in halfway. He enters you in full way. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Baptism means he came unto you. He came on point. He dipped you, he swallowed you up. You know, when you dip somebody inside water, what happened? You bury him. Abi?
Yes.
So when you dip somebody inside the Holy Ghost, what happened again? You dip the person in the Holy Ghost. The person is no longer existing, but the Holy Ghost exists in him. That's the simple baptism.
Okay, sir.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Your surname changed immediately to him, to his body. That's baptism. To become one with that person. Huh?
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Next question, sir. Does it mean everybody that speaks in tongues is baptized with the Holy Spirit, sir?
That is the sign. Everyone that speaks in tongues genuinely.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Is the sign. That is the sign. That is the sign. That is the initial sign.
Yes, sir.
You understand the point?
Yes, sir.
But the baptism of the Holy Ghost is beyond speaking in tongues.
Yes, sir.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost make eternal life real or reality in your life. You say, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. What is that power? The person of Christ. You are reborn. Your spirit is recreated. You become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the Holy Ghost made the word of God alive to you. He make you know what God has freely given to you. That I say, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is beyond speaking in tongues. But initial, as a sign that he has arrived, is the speaking in tongues. You get the point now?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, sir.
Praise the Lord. My first question is, why do Christians still die prematured, irrespective of the benefit we are to enjoy as the children of Abraham?
Thank you very much. Christians can die premature and more than premature.
Why?
Psalm 82. Read from verse 5 to 7. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Why? They didn't know or understand it. You see, when somebody speaks, you hear a voice. And you don't understand that voice, you can never respond to that voice. You know, when Jesus was doing his ministry, he quoted this passage. He quoted this same passage in John chapter 10. Let's go there from verse 34. Not a key like ignorance. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of his knowledge. He didn't say for lack of hearing me, for lack of knowing. And I've said several times, that knowing is a combination of hearing and understanding. See, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, ye are gods. If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father had sanctified, and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I say, I am the Son of God. You know, there are some confession you make now. Those who doesn't understand what you understood, they will tell you are blaspheming. How can he say he cannot be sick? How can he say God dwelleth in me? How can he say I have all things? The question is that, I used to ask people, is it with the amount you said it? Now, because Jesus said, I and my Father are one. They say, what? You be a man, make yourself equal with God. He has to bring this. That if they also knew that they too are one with God, they won't be behaving the way they are behaving. And where we read in Psalm 82, say they will die like mere men because they did not understand what God has spoken unto them. It's very easy. When it says, children, obey your parents in the law, honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you, and that your days may be long. And a child of God overlook his parents, doesn't do what he's supposed to do for parents, he will die mysteriously. There's nothing anybody can do about that. That is why God said, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. He didn't say, go and make converts. Disciple means students that will understand the language of their father and respond to. That's it. Some believe today that the era of miracle is over. Abi? Is it really over? So when you say healing, except healing now, physical healing is part of redemption. They look at you as if you are blaspheming. So if Christians can die. In fact, they are dying. Not that they can die. They can die. See, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let's read that Uzziah. Read Uzziah chapter 4 verse 6. And we'll go to Isaiah chapter 5 verse 13. We'll read it to you. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not, he didn't say because Satan is powerful. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. May that never be your portion.
Amen.
Then Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Then the next verse, verse 14. Therefore, hell had enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Why? They lack the knowledge of God. So that's it. There's some people today confess God's word. What do they do? They look at it as if, what are you saying? No problem. You say some people find enough time, at least 1 hour in a day, to meditate on the word of God. They will not. And they have forgotten that you only become what you think. And you can only have what to say. Nothing can break that law. You become what you think, you have what you say. What you don't say, even if it's alright, will not come to you. That's spiritual law. Thank you.
My second question, Daddy. Daddy, can an environment become a hindrance to someone being able to achieve God's purpose?
Not at all. Yes and no. Why do I say yes and no is this. You must first understand that environment did not control you. You have the power and capacity to control the environment. If you don't know that you were created to control the environment, the environment will hinder you.
Daddy, for instance, as a child,
Let me land now. Yes. You see, but when you see problems around you, you may not be able to control the problem around you, but you can control
yourself
within you.
Yes.
Yes, because environment is made for you.
Yes,
for the Sabbath is made for the Son of God. So control it. Not for the Sabbath to control the Son of God. But if you don't understand that, then he controls you. So press for that on your question. Let me hear
The reason why I'm asking this, sir, is that maybe, for instance, I have a child, and we live in a certain environment.
Yeah.
And based on that certain environment that we stay, you know, there are some forces within that environment.
Yes.
That maybe God has planned my child to become something.
Yeah.
And By the reason of the forces.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. We are saying the same thing. We are saying the same. You see, the forces outside have no capacity to control your force inside.
Okay, sir.
You must understand that the one inside is greater than the one outside.
Yes, sir.
What you inculcate into the life of your child from age 1 to age 10 matters a lot.
Yes, sir.
But the father and the mother that doesn't even know what Christianity is all about, what will he inculcate to the life of the children? Religion. If you know what Christianity means, you keep injecting into the life of your children, environment can never control them. Look at the children here. These are children. You say, how are you? They say, I am a Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
It's an inculcation. I think the one elderly, well meaning Christian, how the children saying in one day? They were surprised. What is he saying? Now, as they are saying it now, sometimes you call them, this thing you are saying, let me explain it further to you. You spend like 20 minutes with them. You know, as they are now, from age 1 to 10, their brain is very fresh. Anything that comes to you, they don't forget anything like you now.
Yes, sir.
You say, where are you going? You may be saying, they say, where is your wife? But the children, they are very sharp. Their brain is very fresh. And that freshness they have begins by grace.
Yes, sir.
Right from the womb, I do lay hand on the children. Speak the word of God to them. Right from the womb, before they even arrive. That the environment they are coming to dominate the environment. The environment must not control their life. Right from the womb, before they arrive. That's the advantage of having a godly parent. Is it parent that doesn't even know his left from right? Is it the parent that will inculcate correct into the life of the children? Do you know some Christians still abuse their children? They still abuse them negative way. Abi? So what we inculcate into the life of a child right from the cradle is what the child will grow with.
Yes, sir. Sorry, Daddy.
Okay, go ahead, no problem. We are here
today. You know, some people, is it that by the reason of the lack of knowledge of their parents, that's why they are what they are today, and they are not able to become what God planned them to be for ignorance of their parents?
Yes, it's part of it, but not the full of it. It's part of it, but not the full of it. When somebody becomes born again,
Yes, sir.
It's a new person.
Okay.
He can now plan his life afresh.
Yes, sir. He can be able to redeem all those he have lost.
In fact, in sevenfold.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Don't know what I'm talking about, but parents, listen to this. One reason why I can never have problem in my marriage, I will share with you today. My mother of blessed memory did something I never understood. I could remember when I was 12 years. I asked her the question. I mean 14 years. I asked her the question. I said, Mama, why are you doing this kind of something you are doing in my father's house? I say, it's because of you. Say, whatever I do in your father's house, a woman will come and do it in your house. I didn't understand. Now, the day I introduced this, the person I want to marry, from that day, till the day she leave this world, there is no day she did not pray for my wife. I see the benefit of what I'm enjoying. Even before we marry, he started praying every day. If I told him, say day, morning, evening. Morning, you know when you have only one thing? You will see everything. Now, those prayers she has prayed now, I'm reaping it today. But now, will you now consider my marriage, compare my marriage with somebody that they are praying never do those such godliness? At her old age, all her attention is me. This is what I want this woman to become. This is what God do this one in that hole, and all of this. Now, that's parents have their own role to play. Then when you now come to Christ, you have your own role to play. Do you get the point now? So that is very, very important. I'm sure that you know. My mother told me before, since the day one, you brought, this is my job. And she keep doing it day and night. I don't know the content or the gravity of the prayer, but I'm enjoying it today. Do you get the point now? So that's it. Very, very important. Very, very important. Very, very important. Parents have a lot to do. A lot. In fact, one day I went to one school. I went somewhere. I was in the front of a school. By 6 a.m. in the morning. 6 a.m. Some parents have come to drop their children. 6 a.m. And those parents, they will come. When the school closed by 4, they will come around 5. It means those children, they don't want to see them around them. Don't expect the teacher to train your children better than you do. And that's what is happening today. Walk, 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 walk. Keep walking. But I want to tell you, if you don't train your children, those what you are doing, they are the ones to scatter it. That will not be your portion. So you have your role to play as a parent over your children. And when they grow, they will not depart from it. So train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he will not depart. Is it Proverbs 22 verse 6? Please give us, let me read. Hallelujah. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The difference between a parent in training and a teacher in school. Virtually 80% to 85% of teachers never train the children with love. But at least we can still have 30 to 50% of parents who train their children in what? In love. That's the difference. Teachers are trying. They are doing their best. But guy, nobody can train your children like you. That's the truth. Accept that responsibility. Don't push your children away from you. Don't say they are too small. They are not small. They are hearing. We're going one day. My boy asked me a question. He said, Daddy, where is God? I said, God is in you. He started removing his shirt to see. Then I learned. You know, at this tender age, they want to, anything you tell them, they want to practicalize it. And you say they don't know anything, leave them. No. No, sir. Even if they didn't wake up for devotion, I say, carry them, lie them there. So on that, as we're singing, they will just jump and start singing from the dream. I say, that's a good one. Do you understand? Thank you very much. Next question, please.
Praise the Lord. So my question is, I want to know the difference between the baptism of immersion and that of sprinkling. Then the second question is, we have one Bible, but why is it that we have different doctrine in our denominations?
It's okay. God bless you. Baptism is by immersion, described by God. This sprinkling makes no sense. Don't know why I say make no sense? If I bring this bottle of water now and open it and put it on my hands and do like this, it will touch you, right? Yes, it will touch you. But immersion, they carry you and dip you inside. And when they spray water on you, it made no symbolism, no significance. Because baptism by immersion simply means Jesus died and he was buried and was raised again. That's the meaning. Now, for you to be baptized by immersion is mean you died together with him and you were buried together with him and you were raised together with him. That's the meaning. That's the symbolism. You just proclaim that this is exactly what happened to Jesus is for me. Do you understand the point?
Yes, sir, I understand. Because when I came to this happened,
Yes.
That is why I'm seeing all this of spirit.
Yeah, you will still see more. No, you see, but you will see more. I understand where you are going. You will see more. You will see more. Do you see why I say you will see more? Many believe in their church doctrine today than they believe Christ. And you cannot force anybody. Huh? That's number one. So when you talk of doctrine, those who really follow doctrine, this is how we are going to do it, this is how they have been doing it, this is how our forefathers are doing it. I didn't blame them. The doctrine I believe in is what is here. What I cannot find here, you can't impose it on me. In fact, I'm so bold to the point that if anybody is saying something, if I gain access, I say, where is he reading? I will ask. If you cannot prove it, I don't need to believe. I don't need to follow you. That's me. And that's what I've inculcated to the children. If anybody say anything, in the see, God said, he said, please, where is he reading? If you cannot prove it, forget it. Irrespective of what who says it. Do you get it now? So different doctrine must be there. But we don't have different Christ. Christ is one. Any doctrine that is against what he said is not a doctrine to be followed. Do you hear me now? So that's it.
Then later
there is nothing like sprinkling at
then
all.
They came for confirmation.
I say all of this. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And baptism is by what? Immersion. What is the meaning? Jesus died, we died together with him, we were buried together with him, and we were raised together with him. That's why when they carry you to the water, they dip you. And they raise you up. Is that not what they do? Normally. Yes. That's all.
So what can we tell the denominations that they are practicing such?
And I have no capacity to send anybody to their denomination. But here, we preach what we believe. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are really enjoying the presence of God. Now, sir, there is a question here that the person asks, saying, sir, this matter of open rebuke, is it restricted to a particular set of people or it is applicable to all men? Open rebuke, sir.
Proverbs 27, HF verse 5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Open rebuke is beyond talking to somebody publicly.
Yes, sir.
Open rebuke means you are correcting the person because you want their life to be better. Not that you are correcting the person because you know better. No. That's open. You are doing it for his benefit, not for your own gratification. That's openness.
Yes, sir.
You are doing it sincerely. Am I communicating now?
Yes, sir.
So, what you are doing sincerely, before you even go into the practicality of it, you would have prayed. This is our brother. This thing is doing. Lord, help him to stop. You will have done your own work. So from there, God will have given you a strategy on how to approach the person. Let's check a passage. Let's check a passage. 1 John chapter 5. Let's read verse 16. Is somebody now just do something in our midst now? I just jump on and slap the person. We say open it, you. That's madness. Even you yourself need some deliverance. He said, anger rests in the heart of a fool. What will make you to go and slap a mature person? If you get sense. If a man see his brother, sin is sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. The question is that who will he ask? You ask God, how will I come in this matter? Then any strategy the Holy Ghost gives you, when you put it to practice, it will work. And the reason why you want to intervene so that it will have life, not just for correcting sake alone, but it will have life, that is ability to sustain. You get the point now. So that is it. So when they talk of open rebuke, number one, when you want to rebuke this person, are you rebuking this person because you love him? Because there are some rebuke today that couple with disgrace. Is that not so? Yes, now there are some rebuke that accompany with disgrace. Somebody committing an offense, you give him back seat, you announce him publicly. What is that? Open rebuke with what? With disgrace. You announce his fault before the whole congregation. That person will not be able to move freely. If that person finally committed suicide, both the person who committed suicide and you that rebuke you publicly in that way, you are a murderer. He said, correct them with the spirit of meekness. Is that in your Bible? Give us Galatians chapter 6 from verse 1. No many a time we do righteousness more than God. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. How did he say we should do that? Spirit of meekness. Oh, our brother, we saw him with a fault. Let's gather together and pray. Let's have a vigil over this matter. Because when one soldier is wounded, other soldiers are wounded. You will have killed a lot of things before anything. But what do we do today? Say, hey, do you not hear what Brother Lagwaja did? No! No! The reason why you are spiritual than that person is so that you can bear his body. Read verse 2. Bear ye one another's body, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear it. Then go to Romans chapter 15, verse 1 now. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Is that your Bible? So, all our weak brethren, those who are not knowledgeable like you, they are your responsibility. You pray for them, you move closer to them, you teach them. Every ability that God gave you, is a new position of responsibility. When you are spiritually inclined, it's another dimension of responsibility. Thank you very much. Next question. Are you blessed? Thank you.
We're still coming back to you. Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Daddy. Still on doctrinal matters. This question says, regarding the covering of the hair in churches by women, is it actually biblical or just doctrinal?
It's okay. If we read our Bible very well, you will realize that covering of head is beyond covering of hair. A talk to a woman that has no respect for her husband. To cover your head means to give respect to your husband, to crown your husband. That's the meaning. Because your husband, let's go there please. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I think let's read from verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinance as I deliver them to you. But I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Look at how it began now. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of every of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. The head first before ear. Because it's the head that carried the ear. It's okay, let's go ahead. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonored his head. That is, when a man is praying or prophesying, he's not receiving the instruction from his head, from Christ. That is why he said he dishonored his head. God fear the Lord. Who tell you? Is it the Lord? That's what he's dealing with. Am I communicating? Then the next verse. But every woman that prayed or prophesied with her head uncovered. Can you see the way this man was using the analogy he was using? Dishonored her head. For that is even all one as if. Even all one as if she were not, he were shaving me, he has no husband. We have many women today who say they are anointed, they have no respect for their husband. It's a satanic anointing. God say your husband is your head. A woman wants to go and do something somewhere because it's a woman of God. He didn't even inform the husband. Disgrace was actually disgrace is waiting. No, let's check the Bible now. Am I reading the Bible to you?
Yes,
sir. It's okay. I see he doesn't have husband. Do you hear it now? And every man going about without consulting Christ, what is he doing? He dishonored his head. Jesus said, as my father taught me, so I do. It means a man must receive instruction from Christ, and when a woman receives instruction from Christ and is married, he should relate it with her husband before execution. This is what God said. Do you understand now? Okay, now read on. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. No woman likes to be shorn outside now. But he said, if you disrespect your husband, what you are carrying out, your husband doesn't even approve it. You don't even share the vision with your husband. Disgrace is waiting. Verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. Can you see now? You don't take any step without the approval of your head. Who is our head? Christ. For as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. That is God's order. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause, all the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Some control their husband, say, I am anointed, I'm going for a program, I don't have your time. Excuse me, God is telling you, go back home. Yes. Do you see now all what we mentioned now? Here was not even mentioned. Nevertheless, neither is the woman without the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the law. Verse 12. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Verse 13. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? This thing is beyond this thing. This is whether you tie down pali or you don't tie down pali. That's not the main thing first now. Do not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? A man. Now look at the next one. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. The question today is that the long hair we see today in the head of our sister, is it artificial or natural? You see, there's a certain thing that when you see, you just laugh. If rain want to fall, you see them running as if they are pushing them. See, let me tell you this. No. You behave outside based on the person that lives in you. That's just it. No, there are some areas I don't like touching, but you have actually knocked the door. So I have to go there. Can we go to Numbers chapter 30? Can you see now all what we read first? Eh? The year is not even the matter. No, naturally black nation. They don't have too much or long hair. Like the white. Is that true? Are we in Numbers chapter 30 from verse 1? And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord had commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeded out of his mouth. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, that's four, and her father hear a vow, and about wherewith she had bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she had bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in the day that he hear it, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she had bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. And if she had at all an husband, when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband hear it and heard his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vows shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he hear it, then he shall make a vow which he vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her. Can you see the power? If a woman who is married even go to a church and make a vow, and he come to the house, the husband say, I'm not interested in this, I disagree. He says, this counsel, and the Lord shall forgive her. Is that your Bible, please? Am I reading your Bible? Do you have in the pages of your Bible? To tell you the issue. God is the God of order. He said, do all things decently and in order. God doesn't break orders. So what he's talking about, covering your head, is beyond cover your ear when you are going to the place of prayer. No, that is not even, that is the shallow part of it. A woman that cover her head when she wants to pray. Yeah, it doesn't respect her husband. In fact, it's worse than not to pray. Because that prayer will not receive answer. Eh? Maybe you are in a church or in a congregation, you just make a vow. I'm going to give 30,000. Your husband is not aware. And you get back home, you say, in the name of Jesus, I disagree. He's disagree. He say, God will forgive you. No, say, I'm going to pay. This is my money. Mm-mm. You are going against God's will. So what does it mean? Before you make the vow, inform your husband. Sir, there's something that is going on in our church and I want to really contribute to it. What do you see to it? Or let us make a contribution to this. He may ask you, do you have to that amount? He say, yes. He say, go ahead. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. Eh? The law of marriage, let me tell you, say, a man shall lease his father and mother. Eh? There is no single man on earth that wants a woman to control him. You know where you are going now when you are under your parents? Where are you going? Don't go far because the town is somehow. Your parents tell you when you are there. When you are still under them. Are you married? Your wife come and see the same thing. No. I've left under that control. I'm not entering another control again. If a marriage will sustain, everybody must abide by their calling.
Hallelujah.
What normally causes crisis in home, yes, is when a woman is taking the position of the mother of that man. Don't go like this. Go like this. Go like this. Go. No. No. Thou shalt not do that. A man shall leave his father and mother. What does it mean? You are no longer JJC. When you are under your parent, he control you. When you now come to your wife, he didn't say your wife shall control you. If you want to enjoy your marriage, don't try to control your husband. Don't say I'm more spiritual than you. No, you know the whole. Sit down, JJ, let's reason together. Say the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, sir. I know this answer to that question should bring more questions. Hallelujah. Now, sir, there is a question here. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5. So the person is asking for clarification. That what does it mean to deliver the flesh to Satan in order to save the spirit?
Now, if we take the verse 5, you will be taken out of his contents.
Yes, sir.
When you read from verse 1, it talks about a manner whereby a father had 3 or 4 wives. And the son of the first wife want to be befriending the last wife. Are you seeing the...
Yes, sir.
He said, no! Such person should be delivered unto what? No, that's the reason why Reuben received curse. See, you know, Reuben in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
He go out with his father's wife.
Yes, sir.
So that's the context that this brother was preaching for.
So, sir, delivering the body, the flesh, to the devil, like what does it really mean?
Okay, the first question is that person know Christ? Will he do that?
No, sir.
If he respect his father, will he try that?
No, sir.
So that's...
So how can the person's spirit be saved?
The person's spirit be saved if he's born again. If you are born again, your spirit is saved, but you may suffer here.
Okay. So the person might suffer the consequences in the flesh, yet after giving his life to Jesus.
You see, what this brother is, if we read it from verse 1, then day.
Okay, sir.
Okay? And that passage doesn't end in verse 5.
Yes, sir.
It still continues. Yes. By the time you get to verse 7, it says Christ is our sacrifice, sacrificial lamb.
Yes, sir.
For us.
Yes, sir.
It means that man does that because he did not know some reality. So the brother continue till reach chapter 16.
Yes, sir.
So we can't use this one to judge the matter.
Yes, sir.
Because it's just the beginning of the letter. If we get to verse chapter 6, verse 11, say, but you are washed. But you are sanctified.
Yes, sir.
But you are justified.
Yes, sir.
In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So you see the continual matter.
Yes, sir.
Do you get the point now?
Yes, sir.
So if we read very well, say, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified. But ye are, thank God, even in the body of Christ today, I don't think any believer has 2-3 wives. They are very rare now. So already, to even avoid that, avoid it from the top.
Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Okay. A sequel to the last question you answered, sir, concerning the covering of the head. Since this does not translate to the physical covering of the head, does it mean that women are free to worship without scarves?
Let them go and read their Bible again. Covering of head, mention of ear, mention is where you pray. It's where you are what? Praying. But the advantage in this, the disadvantage in this part of the country is that when our correct weather comes and wind is blowing with dust and enter you, your head everywhere, if it's not covered, what happened? And you played. He entered there. What happened to you? It means you have to lose it and start afresh. But like this brother now, there is no, that is very low. He can go to Sanu immediately and wash and it's clean. So you must look, check your environment where you live and avoid some things. See, when a woman is praying, is it always that you are praying? So why should you cover your head always? When a woman praying, isn't that what he said?
Yes, sir. So, okay, sir.
As we are talking now, are we praying? No, see, when you are praying, there are a lot of doctrine we practice today that doesn't make sense.
Yes, sir.
Do you read anywhere in the Bible when you pray, close your eyes?
No, sir.
So why are we closing eyes?
They taught us.
Now, voluntarily now you close your eyes.
To avoid distraction.
And I say closing of your eyes when you pray is an application to sleep.
Hallelujah.
There are lots of things we do. You can't find it in the Bible. Then why are you following all those things? We just pick it from the tradition of our fathers and continue. No. See, when the woman is praying, I say, as we are talking now, are you praying? Maybe you are listening. Hey, you can remove your damper, you can remove your scalp. Oh my God. Excuse me. When a woman is praying. Oh my God. Are you with me? Kai.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, is it every time you enter into a congregation like this that you are praying? Eh? Oh my God. Kai.
Thank you, sir.
You know, the person that asked that question, if you are the covering head, it means aha, never cover her head. Hello.
Hi, sir.
She's not pleased with that. She has never pleased with him for a day. Maybe say, if I didn't cover my head now, people will look at me as if I'm not born again. And somebody say, Nahim. when you are praying, in fact, one day, went for a meeting, a man came with cap, he wears cap. Everybody were looking at him. And he's a bishop. At the end of the day, when it was time for prayer, he removed his cap. He finished praying. He now collected a microphone. He addressed the congregation. He said, when he came in, he see the way all of them are looking. There is no place in the Bible you see where you enter church, don't cover, remove your cap. Where you want to pray? Is it the way you enter into the congregation? Hello.
Hi.
Next question.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, sir. Okay. Before we come back into the house, there is a question from the online from one of our online followers. He said, a follow up on vows made by a woman. what should be the case if the husband is an unbeliever?
Whether the husband is unbeliever or he didn't say when you have a believing husband. Say the husband. Whether he's believing or not believing.
Yes, sir.
No, we started with this. A goat cannot marry a dog. So when you marry, a goat decide to go and marry a dog. You know what dog do to goat? Dog, goat doesn't bite people. But what dog, what did he do?
He bites.
So, see, husband, didn't he say whether the husband is a believer or the husband is an unbeliever? Husband is husband.
Thank you, sir. Now, I want to go to few sets of questions there. But before I do that, I'll give the mic to our people in house to ask their question.
Hallelujah. This is so interesting. I'm so happy of it. I don't know of you. My question here is, let me just make it to myself. Can I have two or more different talent? Okay, if I have it, how do I go and how will I accomplish it?
How do you deploy them?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Talent are part of the equipment that God gave you to fulfill His vision or His purpose. It's an equipment. In an equipment. You get the point. Maybe somebody know how to sing very well. It's a talent. So that talent is given to that person as an equipment to help that particular individual to fulfill God's purpose. All you need to do is to develop it. And whenever the needs arise, deploy it. It's an equipment. You get the point now. It's an equipment. Talents, gifts, all of this.
So, sir, that means 5 or 6 talents.
Yes, even 10.
They are all useful in that purpose.
Yes, it's to help you to fulfill that purpose.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. I don't know if there is any other question.
Any other question?
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Daddy, concerning covering of hair, you said it's only when you are praying. And you made mention of Ephesians that we should be praying always. How do you relate that one?
Well, under normal circumstances, do you pray always?
But there's the instance.
No, excuse me. He said praying always.
Yes, sir.
But do we really pray always?
It's not
possible now.
At times one may be praying within him.
No matter how you want to pray always, you can't pray always.
Yes, sir.
And you don't pray always.
But at times the prayer do come.
Okay, now, for instance now. This is our weather.
Yes, sir.
And maybe you are studying. As you are studying, you couldn't comprehend because you tie your hair tie very well. And heat is heating you very well. And you remain there. You study for 2-3 hours. You couldn't comprehend in 5 minutes. Are you doing yourself good?
No, sir.
He said, when you are praying, nobody pray always now.
Yes, sir.
Abi?
Yes, sir.
Even Jesus never pray always. Anytime he's teaching the disciples, is he praying?
No, sir.
When he's in his crusade, is he praying? No! Nobody pray always. Always me from morning to night. From morning to night. You don't do that now. Hallelujah. Excuse me. He said, when you pray for the saints always. Anytime you pray, let's assume that you decide to pray maybe for 1 hour now. He said, remember to pray for the saints. That's what he said. You grab it now. Thank you. Next one.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
concerning the covering of the hair.
Okay.
I know my brother is speaking my mind. Like okay. We that we came from Orthodox.
Yes.
You know, covering in of a hair, it becomes an order. Because as a woman, if you come to church without covering of your hair,
yes. I know where you are going.
Sir, the question is now, you say when you are praying,
yes.
So what of our sisters that do go to Pentecostal churches and they do go to church without handkerchief, even and hair tie, how would they pray while they don't have that one in their position at that point of time?
You see what? My major calling is to give eternal life to people. Eh? Do you understand now?
Yes, sir.
You know, he said, if a woman have a long hair, if a woman have what? A long hair. And you dress your long hair very well, you get the point now. The challenges we have today is because we are not really fully sold out for God. That's the issue. Some person have long hair, some person put long hair to any ear. Do whatever the Spirit lead you to do. I think I will rest there. But in your church, when they say you come to church, cover your hair. Please, cover your hair. At least 4 hours, you will be through. Then you go back home. In fact, as you are stepping out of the hair, you can remove your necktie. Nobody will arrest you for that. If you wish to tie it all the days long, there is no problem. Do you understand? Eh? He didn't send me to judge. I'm only sharing. He said, when you pray, we have read it. So you cover your hair when you are praying. And I said, even covering your hair when you are praying, without respect for your husband at home, it makes no sense. We have done justice to that by the grace of God. You understand the point? So now, the issue now is this. Let me pray again. When you go to church, don't go to your church, but go to Jesus Christ in your church. Say, come unto me. He didn't say, come unto church. Say, come unto me. So the first thing in your heart, as you are stepping out of your house to the church, you are going to meet who? Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the life-giving spirit. We are going to receive of him. We are going there to learn of him. Do you get the point now? So all these do or don't, that is not the primary issue. The first issue is that, do you have eternal life? Are you allowing that life to break forth through your life to others? Are you a blessing to people? Are you a father's pleaser? These are questions you ask yourself every day. Eh? All denominations are, and all the churches you see today in the world, they began, Christ is the foundation. I know of that. So, I'm not against any churches. In fact, I belong to all the churches. Do you understand the point? They are doing well. All of us came out from one place to another to where we are today. Our prayer is that all eyes will be open to see Jesus. So when anybody sees Jesus, his way of living will change. That's it. Do you understand now? Huh? It's okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Quickly, I want to ask a question. The person said, how can I avoid distraction in time of meditation?
Distraction in time of meditation?
During meditation, yes, sir.
Yes. If you want to meditate, you meditate on what God said. So by meditating on what God said, distraction must surely leave you. Because you are not meditating on the word of God religiously. You are intentional. You are meditating on God's word intentionally. So you want to bring something out of what you are meditating on. So distraction will not be a problem. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
You know, you ask the question, how can I avoid distraction? Yes. By focusing on what I'm meditating on.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. There's a question here. What is the difference between job and work?
Job is what you do for a living. Work is what you are doing to fulfill God's purpose. Work is established to fulfill, to bring out the best of you. Work, is established to bring out the best of you to bless your generation. But job is what you do to earn a living.
Then, but is it possible, as people have 2-3 jobs, to also have 2-3 works?
What I'm doing, the work I am doing, as I said, is that what God is pulling out of me to bless people. That is my purpose and that is my work.
Yes, sir.
You cannot see me now, so say I want to be judging case in the court. Another person is calling to that. Me, I'm not calling to that. See, I am the law who exercises loving kindness, justice and righteousness in the earth. How will God do that? God will exercise loving kindness through your life to others. Now we are solving spiritual problem by the grace of God. Others are solving financial problem. Not like that. All the purpose of God is to bless humanity.
Okay, sir. So that means that one cannot have multiple work, but you can have multiple jobs.
Well, it all depends on what you are pursuing. All I want to say to people is that life is a gift of trust from God. God entrusts life into you, which is going to ask you, what do you do with that life at the end of the day?
Yes, sir.
So, and no one is an everlasting man or everlasting woman. Only God, we only have everlasting God.
Yes, sir.
So the period you are going to be here, it is the better is for anyone to know God's purpose for their life. Through works,
yes,
purpose can be fulfilled.
Yes, sir.
Not through jobs. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, why do people have 3 or 4 jobs? To meet up some, Abi?
Yes, sir.
Now, if the salary of this one is not enough, they look for bigger one. Is that not so?
Yes, sir.
Is that the reason why you are existing in the first place? Are you living for money? Or money is a tool to fulfill God's purpose? But if you are living for God's purpose, you know you are in that office to establish righteousness. You are in that office to establish justice. You are in that office to extend the loving kindness of God. So today, many are under the principle of adaptation for survival. But some are here to say, Lord, as long as I live, the purpose of God will be accomplished through my life. Some are like that. It all depends on the individual. But since I know that life is a gift of trust, I must know why God gave me the life, and I must use the life for the purpose. So others may decide to use their life for to trade it for something else, but I'm not ready for that.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Another question here says, what is the difference between fellowship with God and relationship with
God? With God is that you are in God's family. Fellowship with God is that you are sharing with Him. Excuse me. Relationship with God, the day you become born again, you have relationship with God. So as you keep advancing, meditating on the Word of God, praying, asking Him the reason why you are existing, praying for other, meeting the needs of other, all this is a common fellowship. Someone can have relationship with God without having fellowship. That's why you see many Christians today, they are not joyful.
Yes, sir.
Because joy comes from what? From fellowship.
Fellowship. Yes, sir.
But relationship is established. That, like you now, your parent knows you.
Yes, sir.
Abi?
Yes, sir.
Even though if you are away from them,
yes, sir,
for 1 year,
yes,
they know that you They know that you are their children.
Yes, sir.
They call you on phone.
Yes, sir.
Abi?
Yes, sir.
Now, your brother that lives in the house now that is there now.
Yes, sir.
Is having fellowship with them.
Yes, sir.
He's having both relationship and fellowship.
Yes, sir.
But you, he's having both fellowship and relationship with them always.
Yes, sir.
But you, you only have fellowship with them occasionally.
Mm.
So now, the hidden things that your parents will can easily share with those, with the person with them, they can't share with you.
Yes, sir.
So, fellowship now qualifies you to know the hidden things of God.
Mm.
But, relationship establishes you, bring you into his family.
Yes,
no matter what happens now, they cannot deny you.
Yes, sir.
But there are some benefits now you can't receive from them.
Mm.
Like the person that stay in the same house with them. Right.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, sir. So what does it mean to hold the truth in unrighteousness?
Holding the truth with unrighteousness? Yeah, it's very possible. As I said earlier, if you are to bless someone, why are you blessing the person? Is it to bless him so that they will know that you bless the person? Or you bless him in order to bless him?
Mm.
Let us know that you are assisting someone for a reason. Just because you know that this person is in need, you feel meeting the need. You won't make noise. Nobody will hear it. But now, you meet a need, you come out and announce. Both of you meet need. But the person that announced has received his reward.
Mm.
But the person that just need the need because he need that this person is in need. No, don't mention my name. I've done it for God. I was instructed to do it. But other person will do the same thing and blow it off everywhere. So now you will see that the difference is there.
Yes,
so meeting the need or helping people, you have to do it based on the love of God. So when they say somebody hold the truth in unrighteousness, it means he's doing something with motive that is not clear. He's doing it so that people will see him.
Okay, sir.
He's doing it so that people will know. We have some silent laborers today that you don't know their name.
Yes,
they don't show themselves, and they are doing a lot of things than those who make noise.
Yes, sir.
You see now, sometimes now, you see some people now, let's assume that they just want to do some charity, whatever. In fact, they won't put the tag on the 100,000 given. The whole world see it. And Jesus said, what your right hand give? Don't let your left hand to know.
Yes, sir.
So the difference is that that person is doing what is right, but in our right, it's not in the right way.
Yes, sir.
So anything we do, we have to look at the biblical principle. What back it up?
Yes, that's sir. It. Thank you so much, sir. Please, let's clap for Jesus. Everyone, please. I believe we've been enjoying the grace of God. Daddy, we want to go to the next question.
Okay.
This person say, I will combine some questions here. This person is asking for the way to control anger. How do I control anger, sir? Then I will combine it with, how do I serve faithfully?
Two questions.
Yes, sir.
How do I control anger? The best way to terminate it is to know that Jesus terminated anger on the cross of Calvary. Simple. He terminated the angry man with his anger on the cross. So constant knowing of this, you keep meditating on it. Then a time will come that you will stand and say, what Jesus terminated half my life cannot manifest in my life anymore. Then you enjoy life. Don't cast anger out. Know that Jesus terminated the angry man with his anger. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the person with their affections and lust. So when Jesus removed us on the cross of Calvary, he removed all the character of that very nature off. So yours is to keep knowing that thing has happened. That is it. Don't control anger. Know that Jesus terminated it. Huh? Let's assume that you used to go to a brother house to plug orange. And you know that every year, orange is always there. And this very year, you realize before you get there, they say, you don't even find the tree there. If you don't see the orange tree there, will you find the fruit? And that's all. We know also have a disaster. Okay, let me go to so-so brother house to go and plug on it. When you know that the tree has been removed. Exactly, it's like that. Thank you very much. Then the next question, you say you are combining me. How do I serve faithfully? By allow the greatest servants, Christ Jesus, to serve through you. Matthew 20:28. How do I say this? Why do I say that? You should know that the reason why he lives in you is to serve others. Huh? Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Please give our energy of that. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know that he lives in you primarily to serve others. Jesus lives in us to do two things. He lives in you to please the Father. Secondly, to serve people. You know, serving means giving. Huh? You are giving what you have to the person that needs it. That's all. The consciousness that the master of all servants, he that serve, that have the best way of service, lives in you. Next question.
Praise the Lord. Sir, this person is asking, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 to 27,
yeah.
Is it then a sin to be angry or not?
Be angry and sin not, Abi.
Yes, sir.
Don't let the sun go down on your rod. Is that what those logos say?
Yes, now saying, now. Is the anger itself the sin?
Yes. Anger is not a sin.
Okay.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
Anger itself is not a sin. When you are angry with unrighteousness, it's not a sin. But in your anger, don't behave foolishly.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Yes, sir. You see a certain policeman collecting bribe. You get down and started slapping him. The anger is good, but the action is bad.
Yes, sir.
You can be key there. Mm. If there are three there, they may shoot you.
Mm.
But what you do is that, go back home and begin your work by praying.
Mm.
Then look for a way to get to the police fellowship.
Mm.
Write application that if they can permit to be coming there once in a month to minister to them.
Mm.
It may take you 30 years to accomplish that.
Mm.
But you have started the job.
Yes, sir.
And by the time you started raising other disciples, they too, they have that in their mind. Or you see a soldier collecting bribe on the way with his gun in his hand. You just jump and say, why are you doing this? He shoots you. That's foolishness.
Hmm.
You are angry against unrighteousness, but you didn't apply wisdom to solve it. That's why I say, be angry, but do not what? Sin.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, sir. This person is asking the question, sir. The Bible says that we should not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Does that mean that we should only think about the present?
No. He's talking, if we read that passage, you know, he's dealing with, no, the passage starts from 24.
Yes, sir.
You cannot start to master.
Yes, sir.
He now began. Don't take thought of this or that. Now, don't be concerned about what perish here.
Mm.
In verse 33 of that same Matthew, see where you quoted verse 34 now.
Yes.
33 said, but seek it first. He said, unbelievers, seek after what they are going to eat, they are disturbed, they are worried. He said, but you don't do that. All you are after is that money you need.
Yes.
Why do you need the money?
Mm.
Primarily is to solve kingdom's matter. He said, if that is your aim and objective, all of these things will be added unto you. That is why I say, don't think of tomorrow. tomorrow will take care of itself.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's saying. He's not talking about that you should not mind, you shouldn't have a plan. No.
Thank you so much,
you
sir.
Have to plan ahead.
That is
you get the point now?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
That is very straightforward, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Somebody is asking here that, should I find myself in the same position as Pilate was? Was Pilate actually guilty of handing Jesus over to the Jews to be killed?
Pilate is not guilty of doing that, because that is what God designed for Jesus.
Yes, sir.
He's not guilty of that. If I wanted to release him, they say no. And Jesus said, Pilate, you have no fault. It is the people that harmed you over me to you that ask for.
Yes, sir.
Because Jesus was destined to carry our punishment.
Yes, sir.
If Pilate refused, God will raise another person that will deliver Jesus that day.
Yes, sir.
Because that's what he came for.
So should I be in the same position as Pilate, like a judge?
Is you now right? Deliver Jesus to... You can't do it twice. It has been done.
No, should in case it's not Jesus, but by virtue of custom, this person, or by virtue of law.
Now, this person is right. I mean, yes, and they say, okay, say it's not right.
Yes, sir.
Misjudge. Thou shalt not do that.
Okay, sir.
Give the right judge and leave the rest to God.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Sir, what is the solution for depression?
For depression? By knowing that the person that cannot be depressed lives in you.
Hallelujah.
You see, for it is God who is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I can never be depressed. It's not possible.
Praise God. Now, there is a question. I think there are some questions here that are very similar. I'll just combine them. Now, this person is asking, how do I choose my spiritual father? Now, I will combine that with another person's question. How do I know where to serve?
By asking. You don't choose your spiritual leader. God only shows you your spiritual leader.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20 and 21. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teacher be removed into a corner anymore. But thy eyes shall see thy teacher, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right and when ye turn to the left. How you know your spiritual leader, or where to be nourished spiritually? Any message you hear that you understand best, from that place, you know that this is the person that God appointed for me. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. This is not a big deal.
Yes, sir.
3:15, quickly. Thank you. And I will give you pastors according to my heart. We shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Anyone you listen to, that your spirit understands what God says, is your spiritual leader. He doesn't make this is very straightforward. Who say will not remove your teacher to a corner? He say your eyes shall see. The eyes he say you shall see is not talking of physical eyes. Your mind shall comprehend. When your mind comprehends the message of God in a particular place, more than where you are before, you know that this is the place for you. Simple. This one not the next question.
Yes, sir. This person is asking, just still in line with that question, that how do I succeed in ministry?
How do you succeed in ministry? Very, very simple. Are you the one to succeed in ministry? Are you in ministry primarily to succeed? No. You are in ministry to fulfill, not to succeed. Let's read two scripture passages that will help us. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read verse 8 and verse 10. You know, this is Matthew. Let's read from verse 6, please. Exodus chapter 3, from verse 6 to 8, then verse 10. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their crying by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. If you don't understand, if somebody dwell on verse 10, it will seem that God is sending Moses. But if we read verse 8, say, I am come down to deliver them, and I am sending you. What does it explain me? God wants to deliver the people through Moses.
Yes, sir.
So that's the secret of ministry. Yes, you are not the doer. He is the doer. Then Psalm 77 verse 20. I don't do ministry. I don't. He doesn't. Psalm 77 verse 20 quickly. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Thou leadest them. Not that Moses lead them. It means God led them through Moses. Today God preached through my life. He teaches through me. I don't. That's why every now and then I must ask the glory back to him. Do you get the point now?
Yes.
So the day you forget that he is the doer of ministry, failure is certain. But the day you know that he is the door of the ministry, but through your life,
yes, sir,
then success and fulfillment is guaranteed.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Please, sir, we have received teachings that we should not correct an elder. Please, sir, does it mean that even if an elder is erring or doing contrary and teaching some to do so, we should just be watching?
The question is that when you see an elder that you are under their control, doing what is not correct, that same thing they are doing not correctly, go and do it correctly.
Okay.
That's one. Number two, pray for them that their eyes will be open to see it correctly.
Yes, sir.
You will have done a lot of work.
Mm.
I don't tell people, I don't criticize those who doesn't do right. That's not my problem. But let me make sure that everything I do it rightly. It's as simple as that.
Thank
because
you,
somebody will incur problem for himself.
Thank you, sir. Sir, what are the different ways God speaks to his people?
There are different ways of speaking to his people, but the best way that God speaks to his people is through his word. Yes. Then number two, true inner witness. True inner witness. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. True inner witness. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. True inner experience. You just have a thought or he ought to do something right. Is the Holy Ghost witnessing to you? In fact, that's the best way. But what to do now, for you to know whether it's the Holy Ghost speaking to you or not, he has to be in line with God's word.
Yes, sir.
He has to be in line with
God's word.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much, sir. Sir, the next question. What is the primary duty of the Levite?
Of the Levite to serve. Service. All what we are doing now in the time in the whole Testament, we are doing Levite work. There's no priestly and Levite work. That's what we are doing. Service. Yes, helping sir. People to sustain.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. The next question before I come back to the in-house congregation. How can I redeem my time as the days are full of evil?
By regaining your time. You know, time is life and life is predictable. What a person is doing with his time today determines what happens to his life tomorrow. Time is life and life is predictable. Anybody that wastes your time wastes your life. Now, let's assume that God wants you to manufacture something. From the day you know about it, the next thing you do is to start looking for material, start learning on how to bring it to pass. All your attention should be focused on it. Gather material, ask questions, pray, and all of these. Just preparing to do it.
Yes, sir.
Maximizing your time. Time is the greatest treasure.
Yes, sir.
The greatest resource that God gives to everybody equally.
Yes, sir.
Yes. There are some material I don't read. I don't need it. Yes. Doesn't concern me. I don't have business with it. I should go and carry a medical doctor, medical material and say how to do operation. That reading it doesn't make sense to me. But some other person is a very good thing for them, to them.
Yes,
but it's not in line with what I do.
Yes, sir.
So, if you want to maximize your time very well, all what you invest your time on is on how to fulfill your God-given purpose. That's how to do that. Eh? How to maximize your time, you know that time in a day, we have 24 hours, I mean. And in 24 hours, we have how many minutes? How many seconds? Abi? How many hours, minutes, seconds? Then you make sure that you are conscious of what you do. That's why planning is very necessary. Maybe you want to study a material. You have, 3-4 hours. I want to study this material. Any other impromptu things that come, push it aside. Face down one first. When you are done with that one, then you cannot go to other things. That's how to do it. Time. The greatest resource material.
Thank you, sir. Sir, yesterday, Friday, and today, and then Sunday, you know, many of us, we went to our churches.
Yeah.
And we
celebrate Easter.
Celebrate Good Friday.
Yeah, Good Friday, Good Saturday, and Good Sunday.
And some of us, we are even involved with the drama, seeing how Jesus suffered for our sins,
so on.
Not to just end in activity without productivity. Please, I want us to help us so that we will know the reason why God redeemed us from the dominion of Satan into His marvelous light.
The best way to know that you are redeemed is to know that you have His light. How God redeemed us is that Easter, on that Friday, Jesus took you. The satanic nature that we carry, He evacuated. Then died, buried. And when He was buried, before the day He rose from the dead, is that time He defeated the devil and withdrew him of, withdrew the authority that He collected from man. And when He rose from the dead the third day, He came with the authority. And He gave to man. So the understanding of Easter means you die, Jesus died your death, He was buried together with you, and He rose from the dead with the glory of the Father as a new person. It's not the same Jesus that died, that was raised from the dead. He died as our sins, He was raised of our righteousness. So there are two different things. So the understanding of this thing is what qualifies you to celebrate. May I don't celebrate Easter because I don't say anything. The joy of Easter that I know is that if I see somebody to just give that life to. That's all. That's the essence of all this thing we for 3, 4, 5 days, 7 days, holidays and all of it. He took away our eternal debt and gave us His own eternal life. He took away our sin. He gave us His righteousness. He took away our confusion. He gave us His peace. He took away our sickness and disease. He gave us His healing and health. He took away our defeat. He gave us His victory. He took away our separation from God. He gave us His own reconciliation with God. Simple. He took away our poverty. He gave us His riches and wealth. That's what eternal life is all about. And that's the essence of Easter. Any other thing? Dance, you know, why do you dance? If not because you know that now you carry a life that can never be defeated. That's the essence of your dancing. Knowing that you and Satan are not mate. Because the Almighty God dwelleth in you. And Satan is not. Jesus, God is greater than the Almighty, than Satan. You know that he that is greater is in you. That's your joy. Not that you go and sing and dance, meaning you come back again and say they oppress you. You should know that if you are oppressed, you know that you have not known the reason of Easter. It's an exchange life, complete exchange life. Thank you.
Sir, another question, sir. Sir, in most of our teachings, you always emphasize that we should read the Word of God into our lives and not our lives into the Word of God.
Yes.
So we want to know.
Now, you see, when you are reading your Bible, you know, some of us, we always read who we used to be. Not what God has made us to be in Christ Jesus. Okay, let me read a passage for you. Ephesians chapter 2, let's read from verse 1. There's something you will capture there. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1. And you hath he made alive, quickened me, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, do you know that verse 1 alone? Some person will start praying there. Now, the Word of God said, and you hath he made alive, who were dead, who were. That is now. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. He talks about the Adamic nature, whom Jesus terminated. Now, you and you had he made alive, meaning the new nature that has come. But if we read this verse now, when you see trespasses and sin, Lord, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. Now, what are you doing? You are reading yourself to the Word of God instead of taking what God saying into your life. Now, if we read this one, I say, hey, thank you, Lord Jesus, for made me alive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I was like this, but now you have made me like this. Then verse 2 now. We are in time past, you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. What do you do when you read this? You started praying. Abi, do they need any prayer here? Than to rejoice. Never. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Say, Lord, deliver me from being children of. I mean, of wrath, enter into that end. But actually, you are doing legal business. You didn't know what you are reading. You are reading yourself into the Bible. But look at what he's saying in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5. When we were. God, even when we were dead in sins, have he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. What are you supposed to do at this point? But what do you do?
Pray.
So no joy come into your life. It means you, anytime you read the Bible and no joy enter your heart, it means you are reading yourself to the Bible. Let me show you now. Let's read verse 6. Then before I go to where I want to go. Let's read verse 6. and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where is your sitting position? Where is your current position?
In heavenly places.
It means you are in heaven but operating here on earth. Lord, help me to make heaven. Help me to make heaven on the last day. What are you doing? He says you are already in heaven and you are praying that. Abba, how can you be praying, Lord, help me to make heaven? It means you are still living in ignorance. You have not known what God said concerning you. John chapter 15, quickly. Let's read verse 11. You see what he said there. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. When you read what God said to you, joy must enter you. What is it? But when you didn't see very well, hate me, poor me, make me holy, make me holy. Make me holy, O Lord, in the morning, in the night, any time you may come. Make me holy, O Lord. I say, make you holy. Let me show you something. Colossians chapter 1 verse 22. Whether you are being holy, whether you have to pray to be holy, or he has made you holy. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you an unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Have you been made holy? Is it because you pray? Because you fast? Because you cry? He does it because of his loving kindness towards you. Oh my God. Kai. He made you his holiness, his righteousness. Then you rejoice. That's what redemption causes for you. How many of you have prayed before? Make me holy like Jesus. How many of you have prayed before? Let me see. Oh my God. Thou shalt not do that again. He has done it for you. Eh? Thank you. Next question.
Thank you, sir. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now we are. We have some questions there that are follow up questions to the issue of marriage that we've had before, and most of them are from online followers.
Mm.
The first question here says, "What should the woman do if the husband is an unbeliever? Okay, if the husband is an abusive and violent man,
what did the woman do? If the husband is an abusive and violent man?" Yes, he is an abusive and violent man because he has not received the nature of God, who is not abusing a violent man. All you need to do is that pray that God will send his messenger and his message to him. Yes.
Okay, sir. Now, a follow-up question on that. If after marriage, a spouse discovers that the other person is possessed,
a child of God cannot be possessed. A child of God cannot be what?
Possessed by the devil.
If somebody is a child of God, God's spirit lives in him.
Yes, sir.
So Satan cannot possess, but Satan can oppress him.
Yes, sir.
He can be observed or oppressed, not possessed.
Mm.
Possessed means Satan take over.
Mm.
That's why we say, goat, don't marry goat. Dog.
I dog. Okay. Another question here says that we have been covering our properties and everything with the blood of Jesus. Is
that
this correct?
Thou shall not do that.
Okay, sir.
In the Old Testament, God covered the Israelites. He covers them. Eh? But the blood of Jesus Christ made us a new creation. It didn't cover us. We were redeemed by the blood. We were made alive by the blood. We were made a new creation by the blood. We are not covered by the blood. The Old Testament things were covered. They covered them year by year. But our own, the blood made us a new creation. He made us. He didn't cover. We are not covered by the blood. Huh? Oh my God, you are not with me?
We are with you, sir.
We are not covered by the blood. We are made by the blood. Give us Romans chapter 5, verse 9.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Much more than being now justified by his blood. Can you see now? Being now justified by his, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It didn't say being now covered by the blood. By his blood. We are not covered. If you read the entire New Testament, there is nowhere that blood covers you. Blood washed you. Blood made you. Give us 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. I think the subject of the blood is one of the things that is most misunderstood today. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed, you know the real redeemed, you were bought back with corruptible things as silver and gold. From your vain conversation, you receive by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19 now. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We are redeemed. We are not covered. You know, Israelites were servants. We are sons. We are not servants. We were sons.
Yes, sir.
They were servants.
Yes, sir.
They were covered with the blood. But we were made alive with the blood.
Yes, sir.
We were made sonship with blood.
Yes,
with
sir.
The blood. We were washed with his blood. Yes, give us Revelation 1 verse 5. I'm not yet. I want you to know this thing.
Yes, sir.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Then the next verse, and made us. So we're made by the blood, not washed. And had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. We were made by blood. Son and daughter. Not covered. Not covered.
Thank you, sir.
We are God children today because of the blood.
Yes, sir.
So, sir. You want to hear more?
Yes.
I should press for that.
I want to
about that
something. Yes, about
okay.
That.
Okay.
That how do we then link it with Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, sir?
Revelation 12:11,
yes, sir,
gave you the reason why you should tell the devil where he belongs. The blood is the sacrifice that Jesus sacrificed for you.
Yes, sir.
For your freedom.
Yes, sir.
For your redemption from his hand.
Yes, sir.
That is why I say they overcame him by the blood.
Yes, sir.
Of the Lamb.
Yes, sir.
And with what?
The words of the testimony.
Now, you speak the word.
Yes, sir.
You know what the blood has done for you.
Yes, sir.
Then you declare what the blood has done for you by speaking it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
The sacrifice of Jesus for you is what made you a righteous, the righteousness of God.
Yes, sir.
It's what made you to have the peace of God. It's what made you to have the life of God. Abi?
Yes, sir.
Before the blood, when the blood was shed, he died. Abi?
Yes, sir.
And Jesus was raised from the dead by the blood. It means you are raised, you are made righteous by the blood.
Yes, sir.
Please give us this Hebrews chapter 13, verse 22. Verse 20, let's go to 20 first. Hebrews, Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood, can you see? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. It means, what does it mean to be raised from the dead? You were raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead for our justification. Romans 4:25, he said, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised again from the dead for our justification. And we're told in that Hebrew that he was raised through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
Yes, sir.
That is it.
Yes, sir.
And redemption means he redeemed you from the hands of the devil. How did he do that? Now, he did not just say, okay, I take you from God's the devil's hand and put you here. No. What he does is this. He took away the devilish life that Satan had the capacity to control and dominate out of you, and now place his own life in you, which Satan cannot dominate. That's yes, redemption.
Sir. Yes, sir.
So that's it.
Thank you so much, sir. The next question, kind of because of our time. Someone said, please, I want more clarification on this. What is priesthood?
Eh?
What exactly is priesthood?
Priesthood?
Yes, sir. Priesthood.
Priesthood?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Priesthood?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now. The Jesus, our high priest, at the right hand of God right now, what is he doing? He's doing something for us. What is he doing? He's praying for us, interceding for us, and all of this. Abi?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, priestly order is to worship.
Okay, sir.
Worship is the work of the priesthood.
Yes, sir.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Why kingship exercise authority?
Yes, sir.
But priestly rule?
Worship.
Worship.
Yes, sir.
Hmm?
Thank you, sir.
Doing what? Worship. And you cannot worship God if you don't know what he has done for you. Uh-huh.
Yes, next question. Is it possible for the devil to have power to hinder a child of God from achieving the plan of God for his life?
If the child of God agree with the devil.
Okay, sir.
I tell you, the person you give attention to determine the person that will give you direction. If you don't give attention to the devil, he will not give you direction.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Okay, this question, I think this question has been asked in one of our series before. How do I use the blood of Jesus when I pray? I think we've answered.
I said, but okay, let me clarify.
Okay, sir.
It is the, see, you pray. Eh? I said, you don't pray for God's presence, you pray because God is present. Is the blood, is the transaction of the blood, what the blood of Jesus has done, that qualify you to come into God's presence. Am I communicating?
Yes, sir.
I don't plead any blood. I thank God for his blood, but what the blood has done for me.
Hmm.
The blood usher you to his presence. The blood of Jesus is what qualify you and I to get to God's presence freely. Do you get the point, man?
Yes, sir. Sir, can two people quarreling or having some issues to settle pray to God? Will God answer their prayers?
Without settling?
Yes, sir.
Not, sir.
Okay, sir.
You have to settle first. You have to settle.
Thank you, sir. The next question, how can a minister get divine direction in his assignment in a land where he or she has been sent?
Okay, let me start this example. Let me ask you, sir. Let me ask you a question now. If I send you to Lagos.
Yes, sir.
I send you.
Yes, sir.
Say, go to Lagos for me. I need to do something. If you take up your journey here,
yes, sir.
From here, before you get to Lagos, whose duty to call you?
It's your duty.
I will,
sir,
call you. Where are you now? How is the journey? By the time you arrive, you call me, you have arrived, we talk, okay, now. Who will be calling you to ask whether you see what I send you to do?
You.
It's my job.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Now, when God sends you to a place, he's the one to be telling you, giving you direction there.
Mm.
Now, if I send you to go to Lagos and buy a particular thing for me, it is my duty to monitor you.
Yes, sir.
Abi?
Yes, sir.
And one thing, that's human. But in God's side, when God sends you, God is not sending you, rather, he's actually telling you he wants to go to a place and do something through you.
Mm.
Don't forget that.
Yes,
we emphasize that in that John chapter 10, verse 4. That day that he put forth his own sheep and go before them. And when he put forth his own sheep, he go before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. All what you think that God wants you to do, is he the same God who wants to do it through you? That's one thing you must first establish. The direction we talk about every now and then, that God direction, God direction. God is simply saying, I want to go like this. So when he whispered that, your spirit capture it. Your spirit will alert your mind. Then you will be ready to do that. Do you get the point I'm raising?
Yes,
so that's it. We are two. Nobody is qualified to do God's assignment.
Yes, sir.
But God is qualified to do his own assignment through men.
Yes, sir. The next question, sir. Have a good voice. Does that mean that this is my gift or calling?
Or your talent.
Or talent.
Begin to use that voice first.
Okay, sir.
Start using it first. Whenever opportunity comes.
Okay.
Huh?
Should I join the choir?
You can join anything. Just keep using it.
Okay, sir.
Eh?
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
So you have to start by developing what God gives you first before deployment.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. How do I, as a youth, plan my life in order to have a better future?
By following what God said. By knowing that he that have a better future before the foundation of the world lives in you. Eh? You know that Jesus lives in you. And he is the beginning. And he is the ending. All you need to whisper to him is, what is your next thing? What do you need? What do you want to do, Lord? Then he whisper to you. And coupled with understanding of what God said, then you keep moving.
Okay, thank you, sir. The last question here. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 12 to 15, I need more explanation on these verses, sir.
Go there. 1 Corinthians chapter
7.
7.
Verses 12 to 15.
12 to 15. But to the rest speak I, not the law. If any brother had a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with her, let him not put her away. Do you ever say, not the law, but I? It's okay. You know, as Moses wrote, and the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. That if not your husband say, pack your load, don't go. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God hath called us to peace. So let him depart. If he carry his load and go, eh? Let her go. But as he go, don't go and marry. It may, as he go, you must not marry until you hear that she died. Are you see the matter? That is why I say, you have never seen a goat getting married to a dog. Don't go and marry an unbeliever. So that you say you will convert him. No. That one will be in trouble. Don't try it. Don't let your case get to this person. When this brother began that work, when he was right, he say, this I say, not the law. It's an advice. Not the law. The law say what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Let no man put asunder. Let yourself not put asunder. Thank you. That's all? Thank you. Father, we bless you. Lord, our time is up. Leave the rest of the question. Is it from online? From online? So just quickly go to the point.
Okay. Some of them have been asked. Okay. Is a priest a prophet?
Not all priests are prophets.
Okay. Yes, sir.
But all prophets are priests.
What is the duty of the fivefold ministry?
To edify the body of Christ.
Thank you, sir.
To bring them to perfection.
Yes, sir.
Until they become mature. If you read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 15, you will see that's the meaning of fivefold ministry.
Yes, sir.
Next.
Said, what is your view concerning Easter, Christmas, and Valentine?
Valentine is not biblical.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Easter is when Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead.
Yes, sir.
Which symbolizes our determination of our old life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And our authority over Satan.
Yes, sir.
And the importation of the new life. But Xmas is celebrated accordingly, that is when they celebrate the birth of Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Why they do that at that moment? Not that is, they know that is that date. But what they do is that he was born during a cool season, which I don't see anybody should argue with such thing.
Yes, sir.
Because that's not the reason for argument.
Yes,
what you need is that receive eternal life.
Yes, sir. How do I know my ministry, sir?
Your ministry? Your ministry is within you before you were born.
Yes, sir.
By knowing, you know what you have passion for.
Yes, sir.
Your calling is anything that call your attention.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. What you see, what you hate most, is what God wants you to terminate or correct.
Yes, sir.
And what you love most is what God wants you to establish.
Yes, sir.
If you read Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9, he loveth righteousness and hateth iniquity. So what he loved is what he came to establish. What he hates is what he came to destroy. Simple.
Yes, now, how do we deal with bad relationship and bad habit?
By removing yourself from it. Bad relationship and bad habit. Knowing that the person that lives in you doesn't do that. Knowing what Jesus has done, that the new life you have his own way of life.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Because all our subject we learn, we are to learn as God's children, is Christ. He's our subject, he's our focus, he's our curriculum, he's our courses.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
You know, in the university or in other school, you study different courses. But our courses, the only course we are given to learn is Christ.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians chapter 4, let's read it. Verse 20 and 21. But he has not so learned Christ. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in him, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's our subject. As you keep learning, what is the character of Jesus? How did he do this and all of this? Meditating on it, then those characters become yours.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
Then the last question, sir. How do I undo addiction?
Addiction? By knowing that very addiction has been terminated on the cross.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Knowing that.
Yes, sir.
Father, we give you praise. Thank you for all you have done for us. Thank you for your understanding and your knowledge you are imparting to us. We trust you, Lord, that none of us will miss the target. None of us will miss your purpose. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We ask at this hour, if any one of us has gone astray in any way, you will restore us back. With your loving kindness, you will bring us back. Thank you for hearing us. We bless the holy name. In Jesus' name we pray.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message.
For more of our messages, visit our website, www.thecream.org.ng
or call the following numbers for more inquiries:
081-3553-7845,
080-6061-8421,
070-6227-0070,
081-3291-4775. Jesus is Lord.